Lizzie Skernick, welcome to The Signal.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I guess I should say welcome back, because I think you were on our show a very long time ago when we were just getting started reading some poetry with Aaron Henkin.
Yes, I used to do, and I've tried to find it and I don't know where it is, but I used to do a lot of light verse. I would write light verse about the news stories and do it on The Signal, which actually, now that you mention it, is sort of what I do with the column, but I had forgotten I was doing a version of it back then.
Well, see, good ideas, like they come around again sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of good ideas, I mean, I've always been a big fan of That Should Be a Word. I really enjoy that in the New York Times. And now this book you've published, which is a collection of words, and I have to say the interconnectedness of them I find really interesting, the way you have this sort of chart, you've charted the language and the evolution of these words. But maybe we should back up for people who are not familiar with That Should Be a Word and tell us what that's all about.
Well, it's a column I wrote for the New York Times Magazine for many years, in which people, you know, so the idea is that there's all these things that happen to us in our culture, you know, like biting into a cookie you thought was chocolate chip and it's actually raisin, or, you know, someone in your life who always gets their way by screaming. And so people would ask me, you know, I need a word for that. What's the word for that? And so what I did in the column was make up words for those things.
There really is a very specific feeling of dread and disappointment when you bite into something and you think it's chocolate and it's raisins.
It's horrible. It's horrible. And it was actually Jennifer Weiner who asked me for that word. And when she did, I was so happy because I was like, that has bothered me my whole life. So glad she reminded me of how that needs a word.
And of course, that is the betrayed would be the word that we're talking about. Is
yes.
But, you know, certainly language is an evolving thing. It's, I mean, we always come up with new terms, especially in the digital age. We've had to add words. I mean, everyone is shocked at when the dictionaries officially add new words. But
I know.
But those tend to have a more, they're almost more acceptable to all people, and a little, they're not necessarily playful, but there's a real playful sense to the words that you create here.
Well, I think that's because the actual feelings are generally very playful. I mean, when people ask me for these words, you know, words that we don't have, you know, a meaning for are usually things that are sort of a mixture of humor and envy and wryness and silliness. You know, there was one of my friends asked me for a word that was the feeling you get when listening to an old Barbara Streisand song. And I thought up a few for her, and she didn't like them. And then finally I was like, sentimental. And so she loved that.
Sentimental.
And so I think no one wants a word to describe the crushing debt that they're going through that's going to make them lose their house. Although actually I do basically have a word for that. But, you know, these are words for things that are both mildly irritating and mildly amusing.
Well, I'm guessing that you, as a writer, you've been a writer, it seems like, all your life.
Yes, exactly.
And so playing with language is something that you do. I mean, did that come naturally to you?
You know, it actually did, although a few people, I did a talk recently and someone asked, you know, if I'd always been doing this. And I said, well, I don't know. I think I just did it because someone asked me to write the column. And then one of my best friends, who I've literally known for 25 years, interrupted in the middle of my talk. And she was like, you've been making up words since college. We had a whole fake language we spoke in college. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, we still talk in that language. So it's, you know, it's something that I definitely have always, always rhymed. And, you know, and I went to the writing seminars at Hopkins here, you know, and I went particularly because it is a program with formal verse. And so I studied with, you know, Greg Williamson, who's going to be interviewing me at the Ivy, and Sandy McClatchy and Andrew Hudgens. You know, so those were sort of grounding forces in playing with language. You know, whenever you work in a form, the form is already playing, and, you know, putting more than one meaning into a word is, you know, I sort of call them, these are my shortest poems.
That makes sense. Because, of course, you're right, any discipline, any writing, you are playing with language, but sometimes it's for a sort of a higher purpose.
Well, yeah, I mean, John Irwin, who's just a lovely, you know, poet himself. I remember in class, and I've remembered this for years, he said, you know, the point of a formal verse is that while you're busy trying to think of a rhyme, it actually frees up the muse. It frees up the subconscious to do something much better than you would ever do consciously. And I found with these words, that's really true also. I mean, it's nothing I could do by forcing it. You know, the words do really come to me after I've just been sort of muttering around and thinking and looking at thesauri and looking at dictionaries. But, you know, that's never the actual word. It's just that I have to sort of immerse myself into, you know, everything that's around the word until my brain will provide me the actual word.
That is quite a process, I'd imagine. And you mentioned someone asking you for a word. I didn't know that one could request a word from Lizzie Skernick.
People do. How could you know? People do that all the time. It's actually, and it doesn't take that long. I usually do it on Twitter or on Facebook. And, you know, I'm always glad because generally I can sort of produce the word pretty immediately. And I always thought it was a good defense for if everybody ever says, you know, that I've stolen all of these words from someone else. I can just say, no, I can do it I can do it faster than I could Google it, believe you me.
That's very funny. But I would think that the inspiration comes from all different situations. I mean, you have words, and you've actually broken them down into some pretty interesting categories. and I would think that the pornography, the vast media content about child rearing, is something that probably entered into your radar as you became a parent.
Yes. And as I was, you know, I think I decided to have a baby right around when I started the column, and then, you know, once I got pregnant and then became a parent and also am surrounded by other parents, there's no end to things parents need words for also, you know, or words you need for parents, mm-hmm. you know, doing annoying things. And also, you know, my baby is a donor baby, and so I had to do some technological futzing to get him. Not that much, actually, and then half of my friends also have babies, you know, that are half test tube babies or, you know, God knows what people do. And so that's an entire new area that I was able to put into pornography, which didn't even exist, you know, 20 years ago.
But there's all these terms like dryper.
Yeah, dryper.
Which we all know, and especially new parents tend to change a lot of dry diapers, and you do start to actually worry about the enormous cost of doing this and waste of time. But that's sort of an interesting take on that. But there's all these categories. I thought dromineering, maintaining control by seeming to be in a crisis at all times. There's a lot of words in here that are very funny and playful. I found a few of them that I really liked, including from the dromineering section, pleasure.
Oh, pleasure. Yeah. Pleasure.
Yes.
I do that a lot. I get a lot of that.
Denigrate, I thought, was really great, which is the pretend to never have met somebody. And there are people who do these things.
Oh, my God.
And it's really annoying. And to have a word to actually talk about that is kind of important.
Well, I actually, as I did with a lot of those words, I actually wrote that word for a friend because she insisted that there was a person we both know who just every time they met at a party or an event, you know, would not only say they hadn't met before, but would ask her about her name and, you know, say, oh, I think I've heard that name before. I think there's something named that name, and just be horrible in a multitude of ways. So I made up that word for my friend, and I think she felt a little bit better about it. Although she wouldn't let me put that person's name in the example sentence. I really wanted to do that, but she wouldn't let me.
But there's so many. Plasticate, the one of these words that no one wants to admit that they've ever actually bitten into a fake piece of fruit. But I bet it happens more often than you think.
Oh, I've totally done it. And I've done it at an old age home. And what's bad about that is you just know you're not the only one who did it to that particular piece of fruit.
There should be a word for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever, what happens, I guess this is my question, what happens if you make up a word and you're pretty pleased with it and nobody gets it, or people just say like three thumbs down, that's a terrible word.
Well, it's actually funny. Thank God each word seems to always have its special champion. You know, the word, one of the words that I just thought was like my most obvious whatever word, fidgetal, which was, you know, the word to describe how we're always checking all of our devices. And that word, I think like four people wrote articles about it that day. You know?
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. And people still mention it, whereas smirch, which is, you know, to search people online to try to find bad things about them, just something I do all the time.
Nice. Very nice.
I would have thought, you know, that that was a word that would catch on, you know. And I had a word, you know, sometimes it's a really weird word, like the I wanted a word for when, like, you forget to do something in your dream, like you wear underwear to your SATs, or, you know, you leave your baby in the car and
classics.
Drive off into space. Yes, and so the word I wanted was dreamiss. And literally my cousin, we were going away the next weekend, and he was like, terrible word this week. But one of my other friends called me, and she was like, you are such a genius. It's so weird how you can do this. So usually, although I do also get, people tend to let me know that they don't like them every week. You know, they'll come and they'll say, oh, I love Dauntlet. I just loved it. Then they'll say, you know, I mean, some weeks we can tell, you know, you're really stretching for it a little bit, but usually it's good.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the words in here, I mean, I see a trend where a lot of the words are for things that you don't want to do, or things that are unappealing, like chorespondence.
Oh, yes.
Being like answering emails that you don't want to answer, which of course we all have to do that. That's part of life.
But I think that was partly because, you know, I'm still terrible about that, but especially during my pregnancy, I was also launching a YA imprint that I do called Lizzie Skernick Books. And I was doing this book, and I was growing a baby. So there were constantly these huge piles of stuff, and I felt like, you know, I was one of the special elect that shouldn't have to do them. And that, you know, so I was always looking for words for things that you did not want to do, because there were many things I did not want to do at that time.
Well, Lizzie Skernick, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
You've
inspired me. I'm going to try to come up with some challenging words, terms that need coining by you. And thanks for writing the book.
Oh, thank you so much.
The Signal's Lisa Morgan talking with Lizzie Skernick. Skernick's book is titled That Should Be a Word. You're tuned to The Signal, an original production of WYPR in Baltimore.